Hey, everybody. Welcome to Double Ping Pong.
What?
Just saying Delilah. Wow.
I didn't know the actual melody to that.
Delilah?
Forever, because the skit that shall not be named, you guys didn't sing the melody right. I heard a different melody.
No way.
Anyway, they did a skit for Christmas once.
It probably wasn't my fault.
That was funny. It was just long, but it was funny.
My eyes rolled. Just so nobody could
like
see it.
People calling,
they're
in.
Listening.
It was a great Christmas.
Let's move on.
Anyway, today's episode, a couple things about it, is brought to you in part by Lisa. No one wants to add in anything else, huh? No one wants to yell.
I was waiting for you to finish.
Yeah, I thought you were.
Celebrate it right away.
Like Lisa.
Brought to you in part by Lisa. Celebrate her.
Yay!
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks. I swear, Lisa. We actually care, but Lisa's watching our kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
To help this podcast be more consistent.
She is a godsend. She actually came up to us and was like, hey, love your podcast. I want to help you guys. And it was like, oh, very kind of you. Yeah.
Here's my number.
And I didn't know we were going to like actually take her up on that, but I was really grateful she offered because now we have a babysitter and we can... We can record.
So here's the promise to all our listeners.
No.
Weekly episodes. Just kidding. It's still going to be a monthly thing.
So. Yeah. Hopefully not.
Either way, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
You're
Lisa
awesome.
Lisa.
It's also to celebrate. It's our 10th episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yay.
Milestone. We did it.
Tenth of a milestone.
No, that's a milestone.
Milestone.
10. Yeah,
double digits. Well, in statistics, right?
Was it 10? Or was it...
I think you said it was 10. 10 episodes. Podcasts that last or go past episode, like 10 episodes.
You look very good. If you're still listening right now...
We're going.
We will start this episode soon.
No, it's a reason to celebrate. Everyone wants a podcast. Everyone talks about getting a podcast. But a lot of people, everyone who listens to a podcast says, I can do this. Yeah. And then they start and then they say, wait, I don't know how to edit. Microphones are expensive. This is stupid. It turns out I only have one conversation in me. And they get two episodes in and they give up. That's the stats. Mm. So we've been talking a long time about having an actual Instagram. And we said, no, that'll be embarrassing if we only do one episode.
I was fine with it.
Okay.
They never die, right?
Yeah.
Don't you still
Instagrams? I still have Hair by Haley.
Right. Those old
that was
Instagrams.
When my, that was my business page.
It takes a bit to embarrass me.
I guess that's not embarrassing, but.
I just wanted to prove
mine would be embarrassing.
We also have the Something Brewed Instagram account.
We have Something Brewed.
Thanks, COVID. You shut us down.
I loved all your Something Brewed content.
It was fun.
I'm pretty sure we had like two posts. Remember when we made a foodies
Instagram account? That was all you. I was not in agreement with that.
I remember the s'mores, cookie s'mores post.
Yeah.
We made an Instagram account called Foodies. I was like, we're going to share all the stuff we eat. And then I did like two pictures and I was like, meh.
after like six photos of just hot dogs, it was just like they have to turn it off.
Turns out I had no culture.
This is a hot dog with mustard.
This is a hot dog with ketchup.
And here's a hot dog with relish.
Can we claim? Do you think Double Ping Pong is taken on Instagram?
No, probably.
Our handle. I'm going to name it and claim it. Our handle is Double Ping Pong on Instagram.
Are we making this now officially?
Marie's been waiting.
I've been
open
waiting.
Season.
All right. Guys, check us out on Instagram once it's created.
By the time this comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you might have to search because if Double Ping Pong's
tomorrow.
Taken, we're going to need to figure something else out. But search Double Ping Pong. And
double dot ping dot pong dot.
Yeah, if Double Ping Pong doesn't work, then it's double dot ping dot pong. It's just back up.
All right.
Perfect.
What's been new with you guys, Rob and Marie?
What's been new with us?
Weren't ready for that one.
No.
I've got too many things swirling around in my head that don't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
It's okay. It doesn't have to be. What's swirling around in your head?
You're reading the book, What's That, Who's That, and the When Then? What are you
reading? What's That, Who's That, and the When Then?
I heard you minor stroke.
No, it's called... No,
I asked him on the way to grab something to film this. I said, what are you reading right now?
You're like, what's that book in your pocket?
And he said...
In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day.
And hey, I said, if you don't want to tell me what you're reading, just tell me that. Instead of lying about that title.
Mark Batterson likes that book. Do you
no,
like
he wrote, wrote the book.
Oh.
I mean, I would hope he
of course
likes
he likes the book.
I wrote it. I like it.
He kept promoting it. He just wouldn't let up on it.
Man, he loved
that's
that.
So funny. I did not realize.
I'm not far into it. I'm about half a chapter in. But my brother-in-law recommended it. He was in a men's group, and he said he that it's been really, really good.
Awesome.
Is that an older book of his?
Let me look at the
copyright. Well, you didn't buy it. You've had it, so it must
right.
be.
Right. I believe it was actually Pastor John's, John Cerise.
Shout out.
Shout
he's
out.
He's got good books, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He's been
if
trying to give them to me.
Pastor John, get a book from him.
Yeah, for
Rob
sure.
Rob got like 3 boxes of books.
He's got
him.
More, but I don't have anywhere to put them.
That's awesome.
Well,
I see. I have a Kindle, so now everything I read is through my Kindle. And it's really nice because everything's just in the library.
Which only really means we're a little better than you.
No, I can't read from a Kindle. I have one. I don't.
I used to read through the paperback all the time.
There's something different.
It is. I agree with you, Marie. I think it's just convenient to carry a Kindle. It's like so. Like on vacation, for instance. I loved having that Kindle because it was just so easy. Flipped it open and it was like right on the page. Yeah.
Although it's stressful to have a Kindle at the beach because of sand.
That was
I
you.
Was stressed because there's all these little nooks and crannies. I'm like, this isn't a book that you can just dust off. If sand gets in this,
you'll hear it every time
well,
you
turn
a page.
Well, yours is super expensive, right?
It's not super expensive, but it's more expensive than a normal Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I...
Which basically means I'm that... No, I'm just
kidding. I think a normal Kindle's like, you can get one for like $99
yeah.
or like 75 on sale.
Some of them are like $60.
But so you're like, the what do you have?
Book. The yeah, Scribe.
It's
either way, I love
cool.
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. First couple pages, great book so far.
You like
nice.
It?
Yeah.
Nice.
So far, it's just talking about Benaiah. That's the whole
he
reference.
Knows who Benaiah is?
Yeah.
Everyone
Benaiah
knows.
Gagne. No, that's I'm guessing how Benaiah Gagne got his name.
Gotcha.
They named him after one of David's, I think he was a mighty man kind of thing, but it was like a quick blurb talking about a guy named Benaiah in the Bible who said he killed a lion that he chased into a pit and it, on a snowy day. And he killed the lion in a cave, basically. And it was just kind of like, it just glanced over one quick sentence in the Bible, but it's like,
wait a minute.
Where was
whoa.
That?
What? Yeah. Anyone want to talk about that?
He chased it, first off. like,
yeah, like what?
And all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, it was kind of cool.
That's cool.
So far.
Nice.
That's great.
That
what about you,
me
Marie?
Of when Zipporah circumcises her son, just like at a moment's notice.
Yeah, and she calls
it's
her
like,
husband.
Oh, that's just
you
kind of
just read over it and you're then you're like, wait, what the heck did she just
and
do?
And she
it?
Calls her husband. But
imagine
like,
how it was for him. Yeah.
It's now, baby.
Talk about hot pee.
Talk about a traumatic experience.
Nobody
no one knows
know.
What that means.
That's funny.
Now it's traumatic for them.
Sure. You can share the story if you want so people don't feel like they're out of it. The hot pee story.
Our children.
Levi at the restaurant went to the bathroom.
He went to the bathroom and he said, Daddy, I'm peeing and my penis hurts. Did you know it's called hot pee?
I made this for
and
you.
And I said, I didn't know that. Thank you. Yeah, it's hot pee.
I love it.
So,
hopefully it's not a UTI. I
don't he's fine.
It really
he's,
is.
I hate
fine.
Googling anything as a parent. Which also, you got to be careful
he's
what you search when you're trying to find stuff like that out.
That's the truth. Because you'll find stuff.
Because you'll find stuff. So anyway, that's good. I'm reading a book right now that is very hard to read. It is, what's it called?
I don't know.
The Creator in the Cosmos. And it is a man smarter than any other man in the world. God gifted him with that. Trying to write a book that normal people can understand. Ooh. He's doing his best. But it's so hard to understand. But he's talking through how every new discovery of how our universe works proves God's existence even more. And how people who are like sworn atheists... he has direct quotes, links to their to the press release where they said it, where atheists are just like, I'm at a loss. The only thing left is a designer. Someone mm-hmm. designed this. Like, and every time someone thinks they have proof against it, they find evidence behind their thought to prove design being okay. even more accurate. Cool. So he dives really deep into like the science of it, so it's really hard to understand. But every now and then I know some of these words and it's really cool.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just neat because he has like, they've done so much study. It's like no faith required for this man.
Yeah.
He is understanding how the universe works to the point where it's like, oh my gosh, I see how God works. Like I see how it's made it all the way down to like the billions and billions of miles away stars, finding out that they contribute to Earth's existence. And if those stars weren't there, Earth's existence wouldn't be able to have life. And so he talks about all these things that they're finding out to where, like, the farther you get, the more reason you realize Earth should not have life on it. Mm-hmm. And it's only because everything is exactly the way it is that we
that's
have life.
So cool.
Like, wow. That's really cool.
It's so mind cool. It's a cool book. It's hard to read.
But. What you said about the guy that wrote it reminds me of a podcast that I've been listening to. The guy started off I think he called himself an agnostic, but basically he just didn't believe in God. He was raised as a Christian, but like fell away because he just didn't believe. And then he heard about a near-death experience, and something about it like really piqued his interest, and he started diving into gathering together every near-death experience that he could find from 30 different countries. He talked to so many different people, doctors and stuff, that proved what the person was. Basically, the person that had an out-of-body experience when they died, like their spirit like left their body, looked down at what was happening, could see things, yeah. and then they tested it with the people that were there when they came back. And they were like, yeah, this
was that
happened.
At the doctors?
You shouldn't have known this. Yeah. Like they like tested all of like those different things. And so I'm just listening to a 4.5-hour podcast right now on this. And so my brain is just like rattling around with all of this stuff. But basically, the guy, his name is John Burke, I believe. He wrote that book that you mentioned
Imagine
before.
Imagine Heaven.
Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. The guy now just, it's too hard for him not to believe in God because of everything that he's found out and scientifically proven that it makes no sense to not believe in God, which is just kind of reminded me.
That stuff is really cool. I remember someone in that book, because we did a sermon series. We watched a sermon series that was all taken from that book, and they took the accounts.
There was
one guy they asked, like, what stood out to you the most? Because he said, I saw heaven. Like, I saw it. Jesus talked to me and said, we're waiting. I'm waiting for you, but you're going back right now. You know, all this stuff. And they're like, what stood out to you most? What stood out to you the most? And the guy was like, the grass. And they were like talking about it. It's like, it was so green. Mm-hmm. Like, but it was more, he was talking through like the color that I saw, like the life that I saw. Like, it was kind of neat.
That's yeah.
Cool. And like, that's what he left with.
And this,
like,
he was talking about,
was crazy.
He was talking about how like all of your senses are like doubled. So when you see something, you feel it as well. And like that's when you hear it, you sense it with everything. You don't just sense it with the one thing that we have.
That's
like
so
it was crazy. Like, you just know things differently because you can feel it and you can sense it. I don't know, it's just crazy.
Those I love those books. So cool. Though that's why I started this book, is I love the faith building books, but I love to have something that people are discovering that backs the Bible even more. Like, I always like, that's kind of why I picked up this book, because I was like, I love having that faith and belief in God.
Yeah.
But I just want to know what I don't know right now. And how does it build your faith even more? And so that might be another book to grab too, because that's just...
Listen for 4.5 hours to this podcast.
Right, man. That is true.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick. Yeah, he just lays out like 10 proofs, 10 evidences throughout the book. And he's actually going to go through all 10 of them in the podcast. So I'm excited about it.
That's really cool. Mm. So we had a topic idea for tonight. Haley, you wanna kick us off?
And we are talking about dating and marriage and the importance of that. So yeah, that's kind of what we're gonna talk about.
We're passionate about that.
I think so. I think it's been one of those We like dates, yes, but I think the benefits that come with dating your spouse. Yes.
Dating and marriage, or dating in marriage?
Dating in our marriage.
Sorry, I just wanted
to. So a lot of people, right? That's the idea. Is like you date
to get married,
and then once you're married, it's like, well, we live together now.
Yeah, so and like life happens, and then you got the kids, and then you got responsibilities and all that, but there's such an added benefit of consistently and continuing the dating aspect in your marriage. Yes. So in your life, out of curiosity.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you guys. You just said it as so mad.
Okay, bye.
Yes,
bye.
Important. Start that.
When did you guys start, like, actually, like, consistently dating?
Did you never stop? Did you get married? And did you just keep dating?
No, we had a season of stop. We stopped for a bit.
We just started dating. I feel like when I was pregnant with Evie, I feel like. When we had people live with us, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like we had people live with us for most of the time.
Past two and a half years.
2.5 years. Hmm. Yeah, I feel like we started. It didn't start off as consistent. We tried to make it consistent, and then I think it became consistent, and it's been.
I was one of the people who was not necessarily against dating and marriage, but I did not care to make it a priority because I was like, we should save our money for better things or save our time for better things. And honestly, I think I was in a boat. Like, I'd see you guys go on dates every once in a while, but I'd see, like, I knew that Chris and Anna Pike prioritized dating.
Mm-hmm. And which influenced us to do that.
So, like,
big shout out.
Chris and Anna.
Always the Pikes. But I think I would look at that with like a jealousy that was kind of hidden by like, I know better than that. Like, I'm not going to waste my time or my money on that.
You like try and justify it for yourself.
Yeah. I'd be like, I think I'd look at it and be like, well, that's kind of stupid. Like, you live with each other. Like, prioritize your time together at home. Why do you have to go out? Which you don't. If you don't have the time or the money to go out, you don't have to. But then we started, like I said, like 2.5 years ago, we started dating once a week, and it's been amazing. Loved
it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Agreed.
I feel like we had always wanted to spend alone time together and spend separated time. We vacationed a lot when we first got married. Yeah. We tried to prioritize like going on trips and work through, and I actually remember someone like giving us a really hard time for it, and that had messed me up for a little bit.
I don't know who
you don't remember that. It stuck with me. Someone told me it was selfish. Someone told me what we were doing was selfish. We should be having kids by now. We know who it is. You should be having kids by now. Why are you being so selfish? Save money for their school and start having kids. You don't need to spend this time together. And I remember being like, that doesn't feel right, but I guess like whatever. And either way, it was a weird thing. Cause we went on like a St. Lucia trip. We did all these things that like, we just liked spending time together.
Yeah. And not that like we were like, oh, we're not having kids cause we want to live this life. We just were trying to figure out like what we were like as just a married couple. Like we were never always together because we were dating. We didn't live together before marriage. We didn't do any of those things that a lot of the world does naturally these days. So when we did start and we got married and we did all these things, it was a really good bonding time for us. But then when the kids came, it was like, okay, how do we prioritize this? Because I don't want to lose that part of our marriage, because those were really good bonding connections and like all of those things that you can really grow as a unit, as a unified couple. And I think that's one of the things a lot of couples do is they kind of put it on the back burner. And I think we even looked up some statistics on
it. We did, yeah.
Which we can share later if you want to. Later. But I know for us, like the one big thing is it helps us communicate better too. When life gets busy, we've got the kids, we're kind of going to and from different events or things that we have put in our calendars, we can lose sight of just communication and like conversations, and like we'll save it to the end of the day when we're exhausted and nothing's actually very clear, or we're not actually giving each other the attention that we need. So when we've gone on our dates and stuff, the communication I feel like has been way more open and honest, and like we have our attention, we're not distracted, and like we're not interrupted. So that for me I think has improved our marriage significantly, and seeing how that has benefited our marriage with just dating and having fun, like enjoying each other's company.
What started the shift for you, Marie? Like what actually made you want to start prioritizing dates?
I think the more kids you have, the less time you have with each other, and like the less sane you feel.
Yeah, and you almost get like a desperation. Like I need to try something.
Yeah, like I need quiet. Internally and externally. So I think that's, I was kind of like, okay, Rob, can we get away? Because like you cannot have deep conversation when you're being asked to do three things by three different children. Yeah. So not that children are bad, but the relation aspect between me and Rob needed to be husband and wife before it was mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely was not. So that's, I think, funny. That was what it was for me. I was like, okay, I'm kind of, we're going to introduce a third child. So gotta give.
Yeah, we gotta figure this out.
Yeah.
I think one thing too that's helped in keeping that a consistent thing is like for us, we've budgeted a dating spending money every month for our dates. And like mentally, that's like sweet. Every Tuesday, date night. Like, you know, and that's been really fun because it breaks up our week too. Like having a random weekday, a weeknight.
No matter how crazy the week is, like, at least
it breaks it up. Tuesday. And like, yeah, and like I love that because like a lot of people go out on Friday nights or weekends or whatever, and that's great. But for us, it really is nice because it does separate the week a little bit. It breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I know not everybody and not all couples have the resources of finding a sitter. But I do believe if you want to prioritize and have a healthy marriage, you need to prioritize finding a sitter, whether you have to pay for that and budget for that. I think it's so important because there's so many times where we've gone in a season where life is literally so busy. We haven't had a weekly date night. We've paid for someone to just like come over and watch the kids because we were like, okay, we need to get back into a rhythm because like we're feeling disconnected. The house doesn't feel as unified because we're not going, you know, we're not spending time together because like honestly, having a husband and a wife that they're connecting, they're communicating well, it's going to create a healthy family, really.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's the foundation to a healthy family. So prioritizing it is really good.
Yeah, I think what you were talking about communication before, Haley, and I think that I've definitely recognized the connection that we have Jeremy talked about the idea of filling up. Is it like a different box or something like that? The love bank. That's what it is. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think
that is good.
I feel like dates do that, so that when you have, if your love bank is full.
Why don't you explain what the love bank is?
Well, that's what I was going to have him do.
Oh.
So, because I don't know it well enough, and you've read the book.
And I'm sure a lot of listeners are like, love bank.
The idea is, and the love bank, so this is, it sounds that, but this is a book that's talking about relationships, not just with your spouse. It's talking about how a love bank, really it's a relational bank. This idea of if you have an actual bank account, you can't just show up to your bank after just opening it, putting that dollar in to open it. You can't show up the next day and say, hey, I need $1,000. They'll say, no, you have a dollar available. And so that would be a negative transaction, right? You're trying to take money out, but you can't take out what you're not putting in. And so this idea of a relational bank, you need to pour into people to be able to withdraw from people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a long time ago, learning that as a leadership discipline of, if you have to correct someone and you've never deposited life into them.
It even goes with your kids.
Yeah. And like, you haven't done like a deposit into them. You're essentially going to the bank and and robbing them because you have no money there to withdraw. And you're saying, give me $1,000 right now. And so this idea he talked about in the book, it was a similar thing. It was the love bank and saying every interaction that you have with your spouse or your spouse has with you, right? Because it's something within you and something in the spouse has a transactional value in your emotions. Mm. The more negative, the more withdrawals are coming out. And so if you're constantly fighting with your spouse, even if you make up after and you like forgive each other, you still had a negative interaction. When you do something fun with your spouse, it's a positive interaction. And so he brought up this idea of like, what is your love bank value? And so in this book, it was a marriage book. And so it was about how to like affair proof your marriage, that whole idea. And not only was the idea of depositing into your spouse's love bank, but finding ways to really notice when your spouse does it for you as well. Mm-hmm. And trying to work through like, I liked that. That was great. That's something I'm gonna hang on to. And making sure those deposits that your spouse does is important. Because if you're, again, like if you're fighting all the time, no matter how normal it is, if you have a boring life with no deposits and then every week you get into a really bad fight, all you're doing is withdrawing little bit by little bit. So that's the idea of it.
And I think with the dates, I've definitely noticed our communication work better. Like we've been able to communicate better for sure. But then like on days where we don't get a lot of time to talk or anything like that, and the kids take up a lot of our time and whatever, we're at least able to like, I don't know, we have that love bank deposit in us to where like we can make it through the day.
Yeah, it's like neutralized. You know, like, okay.
Sometimes, but I mean, but more recently, I feel like we've had, since we've gotten Evelyn to sleep in her crib, we've been able to like actually hang out at night. So, like after bedtime.
That's
like
nice.
It's not like a date night every night kind of thing, but like we do like
we have time together. It went from her being attached to me from 7 p.m. to 11:30 or 12:30 a.m. to she goes to bed at 7:30 and we have the rest of the night to like reset.
And you make it at least half an hour before you're ready to go to bed.
I'm a night owl, so
she's up forever.
Yeah. But it was a huge change. That was my sister-in-law. She was like, I finally got my son in the crib, and he's younger than Evie. So I was like, oh, I should do that.
The Let's kick in the it. Pants we needed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, I've definitely noticed that dates have had that effect on hard days at home or just like long days at home. But we have that there. It's deposited, and we're able to kind of make it through and kind of figure things out.
Yeah.
I think my only devil's advocate thought to the love bank thing would be to not keep record of wrong.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you're feeling like you're being withdrawn from over and over again, don't like, keep record of it on this day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But more so, allow forgiveness and allow communication to pull through for you to allow for more deposits.
Like anything, whatever mentality you go into something with, there's a really evil way to read that book. Yeah. And it's, hey, by the way, here's what is a deposit for me. So do it.
Do it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And it's like, I think it's healthy to be like, here's what stands out to me when you do it.
Yeah.
And I love that. But you've got to, like you said, you've got to drop it. And your obsession needs to be how to deposit into your spouse.
Right.
Yeah. And that needs to be, because most of the time, if both of you are just sitting there waiting for the other to do something, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just doesn't, both of you are like, well, why the heck aren't you doing anything nice for me ever?
Yeah.
But
who's going to deposit first?
Right. Yeah. Like, who's going to work through like doing something? But I think that's the important part, because if you're pouring into your spouse and your spouse is just not reciprocating, but you keep pouring in, eventually there's going to be this moment. Mm. Where they're going to want to pour in. And some of that may, I don't know, come still with counseling, and maybe they just don't know how to do it. But I'd agree. I think initially reading that book, that became a little bit of a focus on me, was I told her what is a deposit for me, and I feel like I'm not getting it enough. Mm. And she was doing it. She was, because I need affirmation. I need, you know, I need to know what she's thinking about me. And when I told her about it and I was expecting it, it meant I was waiting for it a lot more often than I needed to.
And
tell me more about my eyes. Like, so that wasn't good. And so finally it's just drop it. And then she has been doing that. You just, when you're obsessed about it.
Well, I think it's because
selfish.
Well, you have an unhealthy okay. mindset, right? Like, it's just like anything that you really find that your spouse needs to fulfill is an unhealthy mindset. Like, it's not always gonna be like up to par all the time. And if your identity is in that, you're gonna be let down quite often. But yeah, anything can be kind of unhealthy.
So maybe, can we talk about maybe benefits? Just maybe list them off from what we've talked about, benefits of dating in marriage, and maybe, I don't want to use the word pitfalls, but things that potentially, maybe the downfalls of not dating in your marriage. Can we talk about those?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I have any offhand yet.
I think a huge benefit is avoiding...
I made a really loud mouth noise.
I didn't hear
my mouth just like settled in a weird way. And it was like click.
Anyway.
I saw your neck stretch out like something.
Haley's eyes went wide. And I was like, oh man.
Oh no.
It was loud.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
You were saying.
That's funny. I don't remember anymore. That mouth click really. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So I don't know if we've talked about, but the idea, this is an investment for the future. This is an investment, like that's one aspect of dating. It's an investment. A big issue that people have, and I remember hearing a lot of my friends going through this, a lot of my friends' parents going through this, is that empty nest syndrome. Yeah. Yeah. Your kids move out. Like you said, Marie, the idea of like we became mom and dad, not husband and wife. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now, after 18 plus years, however many kids you have been mom and dad, not husband and wife. Yeah. And now you look at the other person, you're like, who the heck are you? Because all we do is parent together. And I've seen a lot of marriages that just don't make it through that. And even if they stay married, they're not
happy.
They're not.
They're roommates.
In love. Yeah. They're roommates. Yeah. And I think so often you turn into that. Mm-hmm. And I always am scared of something like that. I want to be best friends, right? I always joke when we do, because we don't stay up late. But when we do, when she's like, I want popcorn and something else, I always go, it's a slumber party.
But then he's like sleeping before.
But I get excited for stuff like that because I know like that's an exciting thing because it's just something different and I do enjoy it. But I know like little things like that come from me pursuing her as my wife. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to be. I want when the kids to move out. We'll be sad when the kids move out. That'll be a sad day, but I want to close it and be like, slumber party every night. Right? Like the idea of like, it doesn't matter anymore. We're just going to hang out all the time.
We're going to go play pickleball at 10 o'clock at night.
Play pickleball. So I think that's a benefit. You're investing in your future.
Yeah.
You're investing in your kids.
And investments don't always feel like it's the right move. Like sometimes in a season, you're like, we're on a date. Not going well, whatever, you know what I mean? And you can't let that stop you. If a date doesn't go well, you need to be able to push through, go on another date, continue the dating thing, because the investment might not look like it's working out right away.
Right.
And there might be bad dates. You might have bad dates, and that's okay.
I mean, in general, right? Like, I don't know if you guys do, but how many dates do you have where, like, the drive to where you're going is dead quiet? But it's because you just... That's nice. We're never in the car when it's quiet. But I remember for, a couple dates, I was like...
I thought,
I'm not a good conversationalist anymore. We lost it. We can't talk. This isn't working. And then finally, I asked her, I'm like, do you not like talking to me? anymore? And she's like, no, it's just quiet. It's never quiet in the car. I'm literally just like basking in.
I was like, let's just, no music, nothing. Like, let's just quiet.
But I want to put on.
I know. Fun we've jams. Even had some like arguments in the car from that. Like, babe, just turn the music off, please. Like, no podcasts, so, no music.
For Marie and I after. That was not a mouth noise. If you didn't hear it, a motorcycle drove by.
As a total side note, I was on a Zoom call yesterday, and someone said something very serious, and an airplane flew by right after, but no one was talking. So my face became the speaker view, just with a... while no one was talking. And I was just like, sorry, is an airplane here? It was really funny.
Oh, we lost it.
Nowhere to hide. That's so sad.
Just staying there with a dorky smile.
You think you can hide in like those big meetings?
I became your voice.
I miss those like COVID meeting reels that would come out where like people would forget like, they're not wearing pants or they forget they're not muted.
Or the guy that was like in a law thing, like he was in some sort of court case. Yeah. He was a cat. He's like, I'm not a cat.
Anyway, sorry. Before we were so rudely interrupted.
I forget what I was saying, to tell you the truth.
Is about investments, about quiet in the car.
Yeah.
For Marie
and I, after a long day of not being together, I think the trick is getting me to shut up because I don't stop talking.
The hard thing is Rob is alone all day.
I am.
And I'm never alone all day. So what we need is opposite. So we're always trying to find the balance.
So I'm like, just tell me when I can talk. Because I got like, timer. I'm going to start forgetting things really quick. And so like, they're just like rattling in my brain really loud. And I'm just like waiting for her to calm down a minute, get her peace and quiet. And then as soon as she says that, I'm like, all right, number one. And I go. So
open a notebook.
I wish I wrote things down. That's why I get so...
He used to create a list in his phone, which you don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
He'd always tell Siri to like put down the note, and it would always go into the things God is speaking to me list.
Get orange soda. Orange soda. Yes, put into Lord, the yes, things God Lord. Is speaking to me. Anyway, yeah, so not usually very quiet in my head.
Yeah, you want to chat.
It's very loud in my head sometimes during quiet times. Yeah, I do.
What are some downfalls?
Of not dating.
Spend a lot more money.
Yeah. You do.
You gotta be wise. Well, you don't have to.
You get fatter if you keep going to restaurants.
Especially ones you like.
So no, we go to La Carada. I've talked about it before. La Carada, $1.50 tacos. We spend...
But we get queso fundido and eat like 3 bags of chips.
Yeah, tip. Go to restaurants that are not good. That way you don't spend a lot of money and you don't eat very much.
Perfect.
Right. But you do end up having to sit at the table and talk.
So before the tangent, what did you mean? Downfalls of what? Not dating?
Downfalls of not taking the advice to date.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like it would be the same. You don't get the benefits of dating, of the pros that we're talking about.
I also feel like it could come in where there's this, like, wall. Like, sometimes, like, if there's been a few weeks of, like, us not getting in the rhythm of dating again or whatever, I feel like there's kind of, like, this wall of disconnection, you know? Like, I feel like... maybe I'm not being pursued enough, or like, you know, I'm not connecting well with him or communicating well. So it is all the benefits of what it is like when you do date. But without it, like, it's just...
I just think pitfalls are easier to see when they're happening in your life, which is why I think talking about the pitfalls is important.
Right. Because
then it's like, I noticed that in me.
Well, I think a pitfall is it's harder to cast vision for yourself and for your family when you're not being intentional with your conversations, and you have better conversations one-on-one on dates than you do like getting ready for bed or something like that.
Yeah.
We like on our dates, we don't do it like a certain amount of times a year or anything, but we try to do it frequently enough where we go over specific things. We have like this paper that we go through about like, What are our spiritual goals for our family as a whole? Then, like, what are we noticing in each one of us, including our kids, that we should probably hone in on a little bit? Like, Yeah, and what are some things that happened in this past season that are good, and what are things that we're hoping for in this next season?
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think that's something we would do if we didn't date. Like,
yeah.
We would probably just, like, talk about, we would probably just, like, control, like, maintenance if it weren't for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of getting by.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I think another pitfall might be, like, you don't know where you stand with your spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they mad at me right now? Are they frustrated about something? Like, you don't have that space because, like, if you're not laughing together and having undivided attention, eye contact, good conversations, like, you don't know where you stand with the other person.
I think that's what creates intimacy, is when you have all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we just went out with our kids, too. That didn't feel like a date night.
Mm-hmm.
Spent more time telling our kids to sit down or trying, you know what I mean? Like, they're fun.
Get those French fries out of your nose.
But that was a family outing, so that was, we were not in dating mode. We were in mom and dad mode.
However,
having a family time.
I must say, if you're in a season where you don't have a sitter, you know, take the kids out anyways. Like, let them be the third wheels, but maybe, like, bring an iPad or something to distract them so you can have a one-on-one conversation with your spouse. Like, make it a priority. Because we've done that a few times where we've brought in activities or whatever to distract them from the moment so we could have a good conversation of undivided attention.
Yeah.
And we still tried to make that a priority.
Yeah. Mm.
I will say, too, though, you don't have to go out for it to be a date.
No.
It could be the kids go to bed half an hour early.
100%.
You sit down on your living room floor, have takeout.
Yep.
We've done a couple things.
That was a lot of what we did postpartum with Levi. I mean, COVID and all that messed everything up, too.
We would do, like, they get mac and cheese.
Yeah, and then they would put him to bed, and then we'd make a really nice dinner.
Yeah, and we'd cook something good.
It was fun.
And just sit down, we're like...
But it was nice because, like, I'd get the kids down. Jeremy would set the table, like, light some candles. And it was really nice because I could be in my PJs or I could dress up if I wanted to and just, like, have a nice night in the house. And that's
cheap. There's a season for it.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's stupid of us to say everyone can do this at all times.
No.
That's just not the case.
No, like, absolutely not.
No, but I know friends who they do a breakfast date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because their kids are in school.
Yep.
So they drop the kids off at school and they have one day they go in late for work. Mm-hmm. So they go out for breakfast.
Yeah.
And they know they're getting their breakfast date. It's the same type of thing, I think.
Yep. We've done a many, like, kids go to bed, we have a fire outside, have some tea, you know.
Caveat to that, though, just spending time together is not the same. There's an, like, because to the argument that you had, Marie, of a long time ago, like, oh, well, we're home together all the time. That is not the same.
There's
because what it has to be is, what there has to be intentionality of, hey, right now, I'm pursuing you.
Yeah.
I'm looking right at you and I'm asking you questions. You're asking me questions. This is what it's about. And I think that's like the only criteria, I feel like, is that both of you know this is a time for each other.
Yep.
And both of you are giving undivided attention. Yeah. Sitting in a room, scrolling, or watching TV is not a date because you're not looking at each other. And so, like, just being on social in the same room, that's bull crap. That's not going on a date or spending time together. I used quote marks for the listeners, for those who aren't watching our YouTube channel. Just kidding. Don't look for it. We don't have one.
Bring out those statistics, too.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting because...
Well, Haley, you had a story that you wanted to share.
That's right. We kind of jumped right into
the Tell us, please.
Okay, I'll try and make this quick. It's actually kind of cool. And I was flabbergasted by it last night because I discovered it. For a while, I have had this cyst on the back of my shoulder. And I got it checked out a year ago because I was kind of concerned about it. And the dermatologist was like, oh, it's fine. It's just like an epidermal cyst or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, it was growing like pretty significantly over the past year. And then about a couple months ago, I noticed that it was really big. And then I could see it was kind of like, that's gross, but it was like kind of oozing. And I was like, oh shoot, like this isn't good. And so I called the dermatologist. He was like, you should probably get that checked out. Cause I could like feel it. It was like, I think I showed you.
Yeah, I felt it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to get this removed because it really felt like it was gonna become a problem. And it was starting to get tender and it hurt, especially when I was working out and I would wear like certain like clothing that would irritate it. So anyways, I called the dermatologist, they made an appointment for me, and this was gonna be like at the end of July or something, I can't remember. And I was like, well, can you call me back and figure out, because like we don't have insurance for dermatology or whatever. So I was like, I need to know how much this is gonna cost to pay for this. And so they called me on while we were in Florida on vacation celebrating our 9-year anniversary. Woot woot.
Woot.
Which is kind of cool. We're talking about dating. Anyways.
We just went on a week-long date.
It was wonderful. If you can ever do that.
Much pool time.
So awesome.
Much pool time.
Anyways, they left a voicemail while I was gone, and they had said that it was just like part of the procedure was going to cost like $300. And I was like, that's just a lot of money that we don't really have budgeted. And I was like, I guess we'll have to do this at some point. We'll make it work. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray that it's gone. Like, I'm just going to start praying. And I thought it was kind of like, you know, you like minoritize like small like prayers. Do you think that they're just pointless? But I remember in a sermon, Pastor Nate was talking about like nothing's too small for God. Like nothing's too small. So I was like, you know what? God, please just remove this cyst. And I just kept like praying for that. And then yesterday we were watching Downton Abbey. And there was it's a good show. There's an episode of like
Carlson turned to the screen and said, woman, check your cyst.
No. I'm just kidding. It reminded me like episode? No, it was an episode of this woman found a cyst and so she had to go to the doctors. And then I immediately was like, oh shoot, I still have this, I have to figure out. And I went on my back and I was like, it's not there. Like,
what?
It's completely gone.
Last night.
And so I was like, babe, like, where is it? And like literally, it's gone. Like, come, yeah, you can look. But, like, it's, like, nowhere.
It's like her.
It's gone. Yeah. And I was like, so all glory to God. Whether, like, whatever happened, but that's God. Crazy. And that's so cool. I just was like,
cool.
I know. And I was like, okay. Yeah,
you could see like the faint outline. Yeah, like, that sucker drained.
So I just thought it was cool because I was like, you know what? It sounds like a dumb prayer, but no prayer is too dumb, right? And so I was like, it's small. I'm gonna pray for it anyways, and like it just made me so like, whoa, God, like that's cool.
That's really cool.
So anyways, I don't have to go get a $300 surgical removal for only half of a cyst, and so. I'm going to go still to the dermatologist to make sure everything's cool, but I don't think I need to get anything done. I mean, my skin looks clear, too. Like, there's no issue. It's just kind of cool. Anyways, that's my story.
Go date nights.
That's what happened.
Okay, so back to date nights.
Statistics.
That was a story that was supposed to be shared before we got into this conversation.
Well, you had a story that had to do with dates.
This was supposed to happen dates. Like at the beginning, and I forgot because you guys were talking about the books you were reading. So
sorry.
Anyway.
Random story segment. So statistics. This is a report from the National Marriage Project at UVA and the Wheatley Institute.
Good old UVA and Wheatley.
UVA and Wheatley, which surveyed U.S. married couples about their dating frequency and found that 52% reported never going out on dates or very rarely going out on dates, and 48% saying they did. So they pretty much had a crowd that was 50-50, a little more. I think saying never and rarely, that's like three categories to me, to say you've never gone on a date versus rarely, but either
way. No. You know why? It's the wives that say we never go on because they're in spite of their spouse. That's really what's going on.
But still, you think through if it's, is it 25% never go on dates, 25% do whatever it may be. Either way, but 48% reported that they did. Then they asked more questions about their marriage. And husbands and wives who reported frequent date nights, meaning weekly or biweekly, frequent date nights were 15% points more likely to report a very happy marriage over those who did not have date nights. So just automatically their default, how's your marriage? Amazing. That's
a boost of serotonin.
Serotonin. How many syllables was in that?
Serotonin.
Serotonin.
I get a pump of that in my Aroma Joes every time.
So that doesn't sound like much, but if you read it through, around 68% that didn't go on dates were able to say that they had a happy marriage. And then if you're going on frequent dates, it bumped up to 85%. So again, like you think through those numbers, like a lot more, that's a lot more, you know, if you say 14 points more, like that doesn't sound quite as much.
This was interesting too.
A regular date night seems to boost marital stability. So those who are not going on dates were 47% said that they are not likely to have a divorce. That means half of them said, no, we probably could a divorce.
Yeah.
And then which the number's still low, which really always scares me of the idea. We're proudly resolute mindset marriage people. So we think marriage is forever and that's just how we function. So this number is sad to me, but 60% of people who go on dates said that there's no likelihood that they would get a divorce at all. Still 15 points higher, 14 points higher. Communication, 51% of wives that aren't dating said that they actually had good communication with their spouse, but 71% said that were dating said that they had great communication. So communication's better, which we talked about. The less 47% of the women who were not dating, or of the couples that were not dating, said that they are highly satisfied with their sex life. People who were dating, 68%. So true. bump mm-hmm. up of that. Better, more.
Bump up to that.
Bump to that. It was a great week in Florida.
Okay.
Nearly.
Everyone needed to know that.
We're talking about marriage. We can't act like it's we all know how we got two kids.
Well, it was nice because, like, you know, you didn't have to worry about the children.
I'm not going into detail.
I'm not going into detail either. But
it was nice.
Right.
But it was nice. We're just here for that right now. trying to get out of it, honestly.
I was like, wait, what, Rob?
Same thing. Highly committed to their relationship went up as well. So better communication all around, better sex life. Better, more resolute. Resolute just being the term of we're married, we're sticking it out. That idea. All of those things were automatically higher. This wasn't a Christian survey. This was just running stats. And I just think marriage is so important. If I can get 14% higher in any of those, I'm gonna push to get the 14%. If it was 2% better of communication, sex life, not wanting a divorce, if it was 2%, it's worth pouring into. Mm. So the fact that it's even more than that, I think, just shows, like, this is super important.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same type of thing which we need to do an episode on Sabbath eventually, but it's the same type of thing where we can talk it down and act like it's not a big deal. It's not that easy. No, we must need thousands of dollars in marriage counseling. And then you want to do all this counseling, but you never go on dates. Why don't you start with $100 a month for date night instead of $300 a month in counseling and just see how that goes.
And if you don't know what to do on dates, like there's so many resources out there. Like honestly, like there's like those date in a box where you get boxes shipped to your house and it's a surprise box of of a date for the couple. Like I've known a couple I think my sister had used that a few times in their marriage where they had to just kind of be at home. You know, the boys would go to bed and they'd open their date in a box and it was like really fun for them because they got to do something different. And it was something that you didn't have to put a lot of thought into. Yep. Like, and that sometimes that's when you're in an exhausted season, like, you know, it helps alleviate some of the stress of trying to put something together. But it's something you guys, like you and the couple can do together and discover.
A fun one to do for sure though would be like, what did you used to do back when you did date? Like, what was your go-to date? What was the thing that you guys did all the time that you were like you guys really bonded over?
We drove in the car.
Yeah, I was gonna say we did like coastal drives, so we couldn't do that. But no.
But we would go to like we'd go see a movie. We'd go to Barnes and Noble. We'd grab a coffee and we'd just kind of like chill and read a book and like hang out together.
Yeah.
And that was like our go-to usual like date, and that's kind of how we started off dating. And then it kind of changed a bit because now we've tried different restaurants, tried different places, tried different new things, and but like. We figured it out together, and I think. But a good place to start, I think, would be jumping back to like, what was the last fun thing you guys did together? You know, like try to start there.
Yeah, I think in a season two when we can, we'll go. We love to like. We used to do later nights, like when Portsmouth, downtown Portsmouth, was quiet. We used to go running in downtown Portsmouth, and it was so fun because nothing was open. The streets were quiet. The moon was out, and it was like then we'd go to Gilly's because they're open like until like 2 a.m. mm-hmm. and get a burger afterwards. But it was so fun, and it was like those are the things that like not in a season now because we can't. I'm not gonna be out that late, but those are the fun things.
I can't even run anymore.
To just try it.
I was gonna say, yeah, that sounds great.
No, I know. I wouldn't
probably.
Can we
invest in a wagon?
But we tried pickleball. And none of the pickleball.
Everyone
courts.
Pickleballs. Find something else,
don't
everyone.
Do it.
Don't
yeah.
play pickleball.
We tried that.
There
like
aren't
a
enough
few
pickleball
ago.
Courts.
No, it, like anytime we go, it's like occupied. So,
one thing I wanted to say about the statistics is I'm surprised that they're not that there's not a bigger difference between the different things.
Yes,
that same. Is surprising to me.
Same.
And I'm wondering why.
Yeah. Mm.
And could it potentially be because of marriage itself? Because marriage is a construct that we're meant to be in. So whether you date or not in it, it's something that does bind people together and have, like if you do it, I don't know, like I'm just thinking like if you're in a marriage, first off, I feel like that's different from a lot of the people today who are just kind of like living together, who are in whatever open kind of relationships, you know, whatever that is. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out why it's not different.
Yeah.
Why the difference? Why?
I feel like we're such a fast-paced society that people aren't even aware of their marital status. Like, there was this... I'm just going to be completely honest here. There was a meeting that we, like, had to have with Pastor Nate, like, 3 or 4 years ago. And he kind of pulled us in. He was like, I'm picking up on these patterns in your marriage. And I was like... I thought we were the best we've ever been. And he was like, well, that might be true, but these are some serious patterns that you have to address. And like, to me, I was just like, it was so eye opening. Cause I was like, literally, I thought we were thriving.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
But he cared enough to be like, you gotta address this and you have to address this. And so that's my theory is like, people think like they're first of all, probably surviving and like just doing what it takes to survive. And maybe they're fighting for each other, but they're just so busy. And I feel like that could be true in ministry too. Like dating, that's one of the things I wanted to say. Dating in ministry is very possible. It's just a priority. But yeah, I think that's probably what it is. People just aren't aware of like their actual status.
The hurried life.
Yeah.
Man, and
have a whole podcast on that.
That is a good one. And something we should talk about more another time is that idea of you don't realize the things that you carry into your relationship either. How your parents' relationships trickle down to how you think the spouse is talking to you, what they actually mean.
Yep.
And so you're right. There's so many things that could blind us to the idea of what how your marriage is.
Yeah.
Our marriage is great. Like, we only fight a little bit, but that's only half as bad as my parents.
Yeah.
So we're thriving.
True.
It's like, no, you fight every other night. Your parents fought every night.
Yeah.
That's maybe a little better, but that's not a good marriage.
Yeah.
And ignoring the problems isn't actually having a good marriage in general.
Right.
Because that's that fake peacemaking, right?
Yeah.
It's not real peace. Mm. It's just...
So good.
Quiet.
Sweet. So, turn to your spouse after this. And ask him on a date. And take him on a date.
Give him a big old kiss.
Give him a smooch.
On the lips.
Right on, squarely on the lips. And date your spouse. Date the heck out of him.
Go get some pool time.
Hit.
Big pause.